The English word testify is directly related to the word LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 78. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in a year. And I'm Steve Webb, your host. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today, we're reading Genesis 44 through 47. If you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, that info is at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode number 78. This episode is brought to you in part by my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see what you have for us today. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Genesis 44. Then Joseph gave a command to his servant. He said, "Fill the men's sack with as much grain as they can carry. Then put each man's money into his sack with the grain. Put the youngest brother's money in his sack too, but also put my special silver cup in his sack." So the servant obeyed Joseph. Early the next morning, the brothers and their donkeys were sent back to their country. After they had left the city, Joseph said to his servant, "Go and follow the men. Stop them and say to them, 'We were good to you, so why have you been bad to us? Why did you steal my master's silver cup? My master drinks from that cup, and he uses it to learn secret things. What you did was wrong.'" So the servant obeyed. He rode out to the brothers and stopped them. The servant said to them what Joseph had told him to say. But the brothers said to the servant, "Why does the governor say these things? We wouldn't do anything like that. We brought back the money that we found in our sacks before, so surely we wouldn't steal silver or gold from your master's house. If you find the silver cup in any of our sacks, let that man die. You can kill him, and we will be your slaves." The servant said, "I agree, except that only the man who is found to have the cup will be my slave. The others will be free." Then every brother quickly opened his sack on the ground. The servant started looking in the sacks. He started with the oldest brother and ended with the youngest. He found the cup in Benjamin's sack. The brothers were very sad. They tore their clothes to show their sadness. They put their sacks back on the donkeys and went back to the city. When Judah and his brothers went back to Joseph's house, Joseph was still there. The brothers fell to the ground and bowed down before him. Joseph said to them, "Why have you done this? Didn't you know that I have a special way of learning secrets? No one is better at this than I am." Judah said, "Sir, there's nothing we can say. There is no way to explain. There is no way to show that we are not guilty. God has judged us guilty for something else we have done. So all of us, even Benjamin, will be your slaves." But Joseph said, "I will not make you all slaves. Only the man who stole the cup will be my slave. You others can go in peace to your father." Then Judah went to Joseph and said, "Sir, please let me speak plainly with you. Please don't be angry with me. I know that you are like Pharaoh himself. When we were here before, you asked us, 'Do you have a father or a brother?' And we answered you, 'We have a father. He is an old man, and we have a younger brother. Our father loves him because he was born while our father was old. This youngest son's brother is dead, so he is the only son who is left from that mother. Our father loves him very much.' Then you said to us, 'Bring that brother to me. I want to see him.' And we said to you, 'That young boy cannot come. He cannot leave his father. If his father loses him, his father will be so sad that he will die.' But you said to us, 'You must bring your youngest brother, or I will not sell you grain again.' So we went back to our father and told him what you said. Later, our father said, 'Go back and buy us some more food.' We said to our father, 'We cannot go without our youngest brother. The governor said he will not sell us grain again until he sees our youngest brother.' Then my father said to us, 'You know that my wife Rachel gave me two sons. I let one son go away, and he was killed by a wild animal, and I haven't seen him since. If you take my other son away from me, and something happens to him, I will be sad enough to die. Now imagine what will happen when we go home without our youngest brother. He is the most important thing in our father's life. Our father will die if he sees that the boy isn't with us, and it will be our fault. We will send our father to his grave a very sad man. I took responsibility for the young boy. I told my father, if I don't bring him back to you, you can blame me for the rest of my life. So now I beg you, please let the boy go back with his brothers, and I will stay and be your slave. I cannot go back to my father if the boy is not with me. I'm very afraid of what would happen to my father. Genesis chapter 45. Since Joseph could no longer control his feelings in front of his servants, he sent them out of the room. When he was alone with his brothers, he told them, "I am Joseph." Then he cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and told about it in the king's palace. Joseph asked his brothers if his father was still alive, but they were too frightened to answer. Joseph told them to come closer to him, and when they did, he said, "Yes, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Don't worry or blame yourselves for what you did. God is the one who sent me ahead of you to save lives. There has already been a famine for 2 years, and for 5 more years no one will plow fields or harvest grain. But God sent me on ahead of you to keep your families alive and to save you in this wonderful way. After all, you weren't really the ones who sent me here. It was God. He made me the highest official in the king's court and placed me over all Egypt. Now hurry back and tell my father that his son Joseph says, 'God has made me ruler of Egypt.' Come here as quickly as you can. You will live near me in the region of Goshen with your children and grandchildren, as well as with your sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else you own. I will take care of you there during the next 5 years of famine. But if you don't come, you and your family and your animals will starve to death. All of you, including my brother Benjamin, can tell by what I have said that I really am Joseph. Tell my father about my great power here in Egypt and about everything you've seen. Hurry and bring him here." Joseph and Benjamin hugged each other and started crying. Joseph was still crying as he kissed each of his other brothers. After this, they started talking with Joseph. When it was told in the palace that Joseph's brothers had come, the king and his officials were happy. So the king said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers to load their donkeys and return to Canaan. Have them bring their father and their families here. I will give them the best land in Egypt, and they can eat and enjoy everything that grows on it. Also, tell your brothers to take some wagons from Egypt for their wives and children to ride in. And be sure to have them bring their father. They can leave their possessions behind because they will be given the best of everything in Egypt." Jacob's sons agreed to do what the king had said. And Joseph gave them wagons and food for their trip home, just as the king had ordered. Joseph gave some new clothes to each of his brothers, but to Benjamin he gave 5 new outfits and 300 pieces of silver. To his father he sent 10 donkeys loaded with the best things in Egypt, and 10 other donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other food for the return trip. Then he sent his brothers off and told them, "Don't argue on the way home." Joseph's brothers left Egypt, and when they arrived in Canaan, they told their father that Joseph was still alive and was the ruler of Egypt. But their father was so surprised that he could not believe them. Then they told him everything Joseph had said. When he saw the wagons Joseph had sent, he felt much better and said, "Now I can believe you. My son Joseph must really be alive, and I will get to see him before I die." Genesis chapter 46. Jacob packed everything he owned and left for Egypt. On the way, he stopped near the town of Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God his father Isaac had worshipped. That night, God spoke to him and said, "Jacob, Jacob." "Here I am," Jacob answered. God said, "I am God, the same God your father worshipped. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt. I will give you so many descendants that one day they will become a nation. I will go with you to Egypt, and later I will bring your descendants back here. Your son Joseph will be at your side when you die." Jacob and his family set out from Beersheba and headed for Egypt. His sons put him in the wagon that the king had sent for him, and they put their small children and their wives in the other wagons. Jacob's whole family went to Egypt, including his sons, his grandsons, his daughters, and his granddaughters. They took along their animals and everything else they owned. When Jacob went to Egypt, his children, who were born in northern Syria, also went along with their families. Jacob and his wife Leah had a total of 33 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, but 2 of their grandchildren had died in Canaan. Their oldest son, Reuben, took his sons Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. Their son Simeon took his sons Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, whose mother was a Canaanite. Their son Levi took his sons Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Their son Judah took his sons Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. Judah's sons Ur and Onan had died in Canaan. Judah's son Perez took his sons Hezron and Hamul. Their son Issachar took his sons Tola, Puva, Jashub, and Shimron. Their son Zebulun took his sons Serid, Elon, and Jaleel. Their daughter Dinah also went. Jacob and Zilpah, the servant woman Laban had given his daughter Leah, had a total of 16 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Their son Gad took his sons Ziphion, Haggi, Shunai, Esbon, Eri, Aradai, and Areli. Their son Asher took his sons Imna, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah, who took his sons Heber and Malchiel. Sarah, the daughter of Asher, also went. Jacob and Rachel had 14 children and grandchildren. Their son Joseph was already in Egypt, where he had married Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, the priest of Heliopolis. Joseph and Asenath had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Jacob and Rachel's son Benjamin took his sons Bela, Beker, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Muppim, Huppim, and Ard. Jacob and Bilhah, the servant woman Laban had given his daughter Rachel, had 7 children and grandchildren. Their son Dan took his son Hushim. Their son Naphtali took his sons Jaziel, Gunai, Jezer, and Shillem. 66 members of Jacob's family went to Egypt with him, not counting his daughters-in-law. Jacob's 2 grandsons who were born there made it a total of 70 members of Jacob's family in Egypt. Jacob had sent his son Judah ahead of him to ask Joseph to meet them in Goshen. So Joseph got in his chariot and went to meet his father. When they met, Joseph hugged his father around the neck and cried for a long time. Jacob said to Joseph, "Now that I've seen you and I know you are still alive, I am ready to die." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to everyone who had come with them, "I must go and tell the king that you have arrived from Canaan. I will tell him that you are shepherds and that you have brought your sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else you own. The king will call you in and ask what you do for a living. When he does, be sure to say, 'We are shepherds. Our families have always raised sheep.' If you tell him this, he will let you settle in the region of Goshen." Joseph wanted them to say this to the king because the Egyptians did not like to be around anyone who raised sheep. Genesis chapter 47. Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan, and indeed they are in the land of Goshen." And he took 5 men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "We have come to dwell in the land, because your servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the number in their families. Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed." Then Joseph said, "Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said to him, "We will not hide from my lord that our money is gone. My lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore they did not sell their lands. Then Joseph said to the people, "Indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give 1/5 to Pharaoh. 4/5 shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food, for those of your households, and as food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made a law over the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have 1/5, except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions there, and grew, and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now, if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And he said, "I will do as you have said." Then he said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. All right, so I read the Bible several times through, and I've read the account of Joseph's life even more times. And I've always thought that the practice of putting a hand under the thigh seemed strange. So today when I read this again, I decided to find out what I could about this practice. I found that gotquestions.org is a reliable source so far. And so that's where I went. Let me share with you their comments about it. In our culture, taking an oath usually involves raising the right hand or placing a hand over the heart or on a Bible. In ancient Hebrew culture, we find something a little different. Genesis 24:9 describes an odd practice that involved Abraham's servant swearing to obey his master's command to find a wife for Isaac. That reference says, "So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter." And in today's verse, Genesis 47:29, Abraham makes his son Joseph swear to bury him in Canaan, not in Egypt, and the same rule is observed. Joseph is required to put his hand under Jacob's thigh as he makes the promise. It seems strange to us, but placing one's hand under someone else's thigh had a symbolic purpose. In both cases, the request is made by a patriarch nearing death. Also, both oaths deal with family matters. In the case of Abraham and Jacob, the family was blessed by God himself. The thigh was considered the source of posterity in the ancient world. or more properly, the loins or the testicles. The phrase under the thigh could be a euphemism for on the loins. There are two reasons why someone would take an oath in this manner. One, Abraham had been promised a seed by God, and this covenantal blessing was passed on to his son and grandson. Abraham made his trusted servant swear, quote, on the seed of Abraham, unquote, that he would find a wife for Isaac. And two, Abraham had received circumcision as the sign of the covenant in Genesis 17:10. Our custom is to swear on a Bible. The Hebrew custom was to swear on circumcision, the mark of God's covenant. The idea of swearing on one's loins is found in other cultures as well. And get this, the English word testify is directly related to the word testicles. Jewish tradition also offers a different interpretation. According to Rabbi Ibn Ezra, the phrase under the thigh means literally that. For someone to allow his hand to be sat on was a sign of submission to authority. If this is the symbolism, then Joseph was showing his obedience to his father by placing his hand under Jacob's thigh. Abraham's servant kept his oath. He not only obeyed Abraham's instructions, but he also prayed to Abraham's God for help. In the end, God miraculously provided Rebekah as the choice for Isaac's wife in Genesis 24. In the New Testament, believers are taught not to make oaths, but rather to let their yes mean yes and their no mean no in James 5:12. That is, we should consider all our words to have the weight of an oath. Others should be able to trust our words without requiring an oath. And now, as Paul Harvey would say,
now you know the rest of the story.
I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, our scripture reading is 1 Samuel 6:10. I hope you'll be with me and that you'll invite a friend. On today's show, you heard me read a lot of names. If you had to read a list like that in public, would you hesitate? Would you be intimidated? Well, if you had my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, it would be a cinch. Why? Because in the book, I break down every name in the Bible in a very simple and easy-to-use way. If that sounds good to you, check out my website, easybiblenamesguide.com. And when you're there, just to prove that it really is easy, I've got a free chapter for you. All the names that begin with a letter A. And then when you decide to buy, be sure to use promo code PODCAST for 25% off any purchase. The book is available in softcover, PDF, MP3, and if you go over to Amazon, you can even get it on Kindle. Well, thank you for being with me today. It's been a pleasure, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.